Fans of our on-demand show, we now have a brand new daily podcast.
We're calling it Armstrong and Getty, One More Thing.
Yeah, it's where we just talk about something else that didn't fit into the show.
And sometimes we use naughty language.
Yes!
Not often, though, because it's naughty.
Finally! Find it right now via the iHeart app.
Just search for Armstrong and Getty, One More Thing.
My chance to work blue.
Press conference in Trump Tower. Did you or anyone on your campaign have any contact with Russia? And the denials were adamant. So it's with stories like this, with movements like this, that we have to go back and look at the narrative that they've been laying out over the last 2 years on this.
Absolutely. But let's also be clear, take one step back here and say still no evidence that President Trump was involved in this, right? This is talking about Trump campaign officials, etc. And number two, no indication yet that there was any direct contact with the Russians.
That's Dan Abrams, legal analyst on ABC News, stepping in to rescue his co-legal analyst, who did what people do all the time, and did it, and are doing it on this story today. That woman there, she said, I asked the president directly, has anybody in your campaign had any contact with Russia? And they said no. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about WikiLeaks.
Right.
He's being accused of talking to WikiLeaks. You just conflated WikiLeaks and Russia as if that's a given, and it's not. If it turns out to be, that's a story.
Right.
But that's not known at this point.
But even then, what kind of story is the question?
Sure.
David Drucker covers everything that's important in the Capitol for the Washington Examiner. He's the senior political correspondent and joins us now. David, never a dull moment, huh?
No, I'm out west, and I woke up, and my phone was full of up alerts, and here we go again with the story that never dies.
So I want a glimpse into David Drucker's life. So you wake up, you look at your phone like I did, you see all the news bulletins that came across, Roger Stone arrested. Did you sigh? Did you get excited? Did you put your head in your hands? What was your reaction?
And my reaction was, is this going to get in the way of other stories I find more interesting, even though this could be a very important story.
Good one. Good one. Good reaction.
Look, I think we're all pretty much used to this at this point. Although I will say the story in and of itself, the indictment of Stone, the fact that we think the individual he was communicating with was Steve Bannon, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Oh, so the senior Trump official who told him, hey, call WikiLeaks, allegedly, hey, call WikiLeaks and see what they got, was Bannon.
That makes sense.
That's what's being reported. Correct.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. As always, the question that we try to ask to help clarify things for our listeners is, does this go to being rude? Does it go to being clearly unethical? Does it go to violating campaign laws? Does it go to committing felonies? And on cable news, they try to whip it up that everything's a felony. But if Stone called WikiLeaks, and forget about the lying for now, because it's not clear to me why he would have lied. But if he called WikiLeaks and said, hey, we understand you got some dirt. What kind of dirt you got? Is that a crime?
Well, I'm not a legal analyst, so I'm not going to tell you it is or is not a crime because I'm not exactly sure, and I think it's a little complicated.
Okay.
I do think the political ramifications could be serious depending on what more comes out. But, let's think about this, right? Somebody who is close to the Republican nominee for president, who is working on behalf of, if not directly for, the Republican nominee for president, is talking to a foreign adversary of the United States, which WikiLeaks is and was and continues to be.
Did we know that?
Yes, we did, because WikiLeaks had already, during the Obama administration, leaked very sensitive materials, classified information that was very embarrassing and damaging to the United States and its work around the world, diplomatically and otherwise. And they obtained the information basically illegally, and they used it simply to damage the United States. This is not like me having a whistleblower-type source in the United States government. They bring me information. I vet it. I talk to government officials about what this all means. There's a purpose here. I've uncovered you know, some wrongdoing or some, you know, you're not being honest about North Korean missile sites and all this sort of a thing. This was just cables and information of a sensitive nature between our Secretary of State and other officials and foreign officials, and made it harder for us to do business overseas. It damaged the United States. That's what WikiLeaks has always been about. And so Roger Stone is working with an adversary of the United States that might have obtained information from another adversary of the United States, and he's using it specifically to damage the Democratic nominee for president. Now, there's nothing wrong with using opposition research to damage the opposition. We do all do that, I mean, meaning political operatives,
right,
both parties. There's nothing new and nothing wrong with doing it. I mean, you know, other than some people have ethical qualms with it, but it's perfectly within bounds. But it's unusual, to say the least, to take information that may have been illegally obtained from a foreign entity and then use that, wield that against the opposition.
Okay.
Well, especially when adversaries don't, you know, it's not about, you know, winning an election. It's about damaging the United States.
From the point of view of WikiLeaks, yeah, and Putin, if he was involved. David Drucker of the Washington Examiner is on the line.
I've just been trying to figure this out. So if People Magazine, if they found out People Magazine had some dirt on Hillary Clinton, and Bannon told Roger Stone, hey, you know the guy over at People Magazine, call him up and say what's the dirt and when are you going to release it? The difference is People Magazine is not a hostile actor?
Correct. And People Magazine wouldn't say. I mean, I get calls all the time from, you know, political operatives. What do you have on my opponent? Well, I'm not going to tell you what I have unless I need you to comment on this. When are you going to release it? Well, I'm not a member of your campaign. I'm not going to strategically coordinate with you to defeat your opponent. You'll see what I've got when I publish it. If I need your comment, because that's part of my job as a journalist, I will call you, say I have information, I want you to comment. That's how this works. I will also give the subject I'm writing about an opportunity to comment.
Wow, WikiLeaks, that's interesting. My question would have been, what's it worth
WikiLeaks
to you?
WikiLeaks does not do journalism. I just want to make that clear. WikiLeaks does not do journalism.
Right. Fair enough. So, but again, it goes, is that just unusual? Is it unethical? Is it illegal or what? So,
it's,
I suppose,
it's very unethical and possibly illegal, but I do not know, and so I do not want to give you information
sure.
that could be wrong.
Fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. So just out of curiosity, what's a story you have a great deal of enthusiasm for today that you'd really like?
I'm not going to, in my world it's fun, but I'm not going to tell you just in case, you know, Roger Stone is listening from jail and then tells my competitors and then they beat me to it.
Oh, so it's
I will alert you guys next week.
Okay, so you're working on a story
you think
is bigger than this Roger Stone thing. Well, that's worth paying attention
to. I said it's more important to me. It's fun for me.
Okay.
I'm in this for myself.
Is it?
I don't blame you.
Is it Kamala Harris being an item with Willie Brown back in the day?
Is that why you're
been
on the
working
West Coast?
That beat?
I am willing to stipulate that I am not writing about the personal life of any Democratic presidential candidate, at least not at the moment.
Fair enough. David Drucker, the Washington Examiner on the line.
I'm struck by the fact that CNN had cameras at Roger Stone's house. Did the FBI leak to CNN, hey, we're going in, get your cameras there?
Kate Bennett of CNN tweeted that one of the reporters they have monitoring and covering the Mueller investigation noticed some activity at the courthouse or at the grand jury or something yesterday and just had an inkling and decided to jet down to Florida. And I will say CNN has a very, very big reporting staff and a lot of good reporters. And it totally strikes me, if you're covering this every single day and this is your job, that these sorts of things sometimes do strike you and you do these sorts of things. So it's not necessarily crazy that a reporter had a good feeling and was in the right place at the right time.
Okay. All right. David Drucker, senior political correspondent in the Washington Examiner. Thanks, David. Good to talk to you.
Anytime, guys. Take
good care. Luck on that big expose you're working on then, the thing.
So I think Julian Assange is an enemy of the United States. I've thought that for a long time.
Yes. Clearly.
But all of the media hasn't thought that for a long time.
No, indeed.
When he was exposing various things that a lot of the left-leaning media doesn't like.
Exactly. He was a hero there for a while.
A truth seeker.
Right.
Helping out poor Bradley Manning.
For instance. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Please. James Comey made the point so beautifully that If you're helping them, helping out the left and their media, you're a hero. And if you're hurting them, you're a villain whose every motive must be questioned. And if it changes next week, you're a hero again. So I just, yeah. But yeah, WikiLeaks is obviously an anti-American organization.
Yeah, but they're not. Are they on a list somewhere as a?
I don't know. That's an interesting
adversary
question.
Adversary or something?
Yeah, I don't. I will tell you this. I will repeat this. Since it's really in the nut graph, as we say in the news business, it's the beginning of what you ought to know. Roger Stone was indicted only for lying and allegedly tampering with a witness, not for anything to do with hacking or talking to WikiLeaks or reporting that John Podesta is an ass or any of that. It's just lying.
Okay.
And you'd think if they were going to go to his house and somebody, at least somebody local tipped off CNN. I'm sorry, I love David, but I do not buy that it was just dogged reporting.
Wait a minute,
there's a lot of action at the courthouse in D.C. I wonder if they're going down to Fort Lauderdale to bust Roger Stone.
Let's spend thousands of dollars to send a CNN crew down to Florida.
Well, I have a feeling they have a stringer who just watches Roger Stone's house, because they are such an avowedly anti-Trump network. But anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, as long as the FBI and the Justice Department went to the trouble of gearing up and pounding on his door and dragging him out of bed in his T-shirt and thong that he sleeps in, you'd think they'd go ahead and indict him for whatever else was illegal while they were there.
Right.
So it could be it's just lying. Where this ends, nobody knows.
Hey.
I'm exhausted up by it, but
anyway. You saw the hell died. Wells Fargo is waiving fees for furloughed federal workers, trying to get a good little bit pressed.
We haven't forgotten Wells Fargo.
Yeah,
good try.
Nice you to do that. Glad you're doing it. Nice thing to do. You're still a criminal organization, in my opinion.
If you waive those fees for the next 75 years, maybe that would equal the fees on various accounts and
right.
cards that I never asked to have open for me.
Awesome. Our text line, 415-295-KFTC. You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Can you? Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
Tony Hawk is launching his own fashion line that will include hoodies, T-shirts, flannels, and carpenter pants. It's great. If you love hearing your wife say, no, change.
There you go. Surprised that hasn't happened already. So $250,000 bail? Is that what the judge just said for Roger Stone? I was checking out the breaking news. So,
oh, yeah?
He's going to be out and about.
Mm.
Danger to your children or something.
Just go to the third grade class and start digging up dirt on him.
Marshall Phillips
be out there on the playground whispering.
You know what we got to do?
I hear Johnny, I don't know. I hear he doesn't go to the John on his own. I hear he's got to have his mommy help him go to the potty. Yeah, I'm just saying. Then he wanders off.
Marshall Phillips will have the latest in the news on that whole thing if you haven't been following. You know what we got to do this segment? We got to replay the Ted. If you don't know who Roger Stone is, we got to replay the Ted Cruz thing in which he explains it.
Then it needs a little explanation, but yeah, all right. The great man from Texas.
So stay tuned for that.
Now sporting a beard. Yeah. So a great hue and cry arose late yesterday and through the night, which has reached our ears via social media primarily, about a law passed in New York State and under consideration probably going to pass in Vermont. Which was, it's called the Reproductive Health Act. It was blocked for years when Republicans controlled the state Senate. It easily passed both Democratic-controlled houses in New York. I'm trying to find the specific wording. The bill maintains abortions as legal within 24 weeks of the start of a pregnancy. Roughly 6 months.
That's too long.
And here's the key phrase, which has earned it some headlines, which are conceivably accurate, but absolutely undeniably intended to get your attention, which is New York has legalized infanticide. up to the day before a child is born, it can be removed and murdered. That's the, you know, the point of view from pro-life folks who are really against this. The law says that abortion is legal at any time when necessary to protect a woman's life or health. And I'll just tell you the key issue here that people are very, very concerned about is to protect a woman's health will be interpreted so broadly as to permit infanticide. And, you know, I'd like to read the law specifically because I don't want to be shooting off my mouth in an irresponsible way. My feelings about later term abortions are open, and I am proud of them.
Well, I got to make it.
It's a child.
Well, I got to make it clear. I've hit these statistics over and over. I didn't look them up here, but similar to immigration, this is not a controversial subject.
No,
as controversial as abortion is, there are disagreements in the first trimester. Most Democrats believe you should be allowed to get an abortion. A majority of Republicans don't. After that, full agreement, right, left, and center. No.
Right.
Should not be legal. It's not controversial at all after the first trimester. Look at the polling on it. Why our officials can't get the cojones to pass legislation on that, I don't know. And the ridiculous, well, if we give them, you know, if we outlaw murdering children at 6 months, you know, they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade, which is a ridiculous way to look at the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's the way the laws are in a lot of states now.
Well, and at 5.5 months, 80% of babies could survive outside of the womb. 80%, according to, you know, something I just read, which I assume is accurate. But incredibly troubling. You had your Dr. Gosnell story in Philadelphia. This monster was murdering babies. He was performing illegal late-term abortions.
How do you do that?
What he did would be lawful under the New York law if they could make an argument that the woman's health was affected in a significant way. And again, I will tell you, I've not read the statute, and I'm not sure how restrictive it is. But it's amazing, and it this passed overwhelming majorities in both houses of the New York legislature. This question has plagued mankind for hundreds of years, probably thousands.
And it's cowardice because they want to be seen as pro-choice. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to the Ted Cruz, which is fun and funny, and we need fun and funny today.
We do. We need it desperately.
We will get to the Ted Cruz explaining who Roger Stone is.
It involves a term that should never be spoken in polite society or impolite society.
What's coming up in your news, Marshall Phillips?
Well, former Trump advisor Roger Stone arrested. He is in court. We will have a report from outside the courthouse.
They refer to a guy like him as a rat blanker.
Slowdowns at the nation's airports may be spreading, and Michael Avenatti's back in the news. Coming up.
Oh, good.
And Assange has spoken, so stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show. So we're going to get the very latest. You said you came across a good revelation from...
A shocking and unique revelation about the whole Roger Stone arrest deal that I've only seen in one place, but it's an excellent point.
If you don't know who
from
Roger...
a surprising source.
If you don't know who Roger Stone is, who was arrested, Ted Cruz will explain it to you coming up. Right now, the news with Marsha Phillips.
A longtime Trump associate Roger Stone is being released on a $250,000 bond after he was arrested by FBI agents in the early morning hours in Florida today. A federal indictment accusing Stone of making false statements, witness tampering, and lying to Congress. The bond set during a brief court appearance in Fort Lauderdale. Stone
Say that again. List that those things he's being indicted for.
All right. Making false statements, witness tampering, and lying to Congress.
Okay, so none of those are coordinating with a foreign adversary.
Well, is the lying about talking to WikiLeaks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I was going to go on to say the case is related to Stone's alleged ties to WikiLeaks, which released the hacked Democratic emails during the 2016 presidential campaign.
Remember, you can lie in Congress, but you can't lie to Congress. Seems fair, a free society, right?
However, the indictment does not accuse Stone of conspiring with WikiLeaks or Russian officials.
Well, and yet, I don't think, we had David Drucker on earlier. Yep. He's more comfortable than I am than merging WikiLeaks and Russia together as if they're one entity. I'm not sure you can do that or not. Dan Abrams, the legal analyst on Good Morning America, was hammering the point several times that we don't have evidence that they worked with Russia, that they talked to Russia, right, just with WikiLeaks.
Well, and
so he apparently is drawing a distinction between WikiLeaks and Russia.
I think it's worth pointing out that we're not talking about, even if WikiLeaks were tied in some to some extent to the Russian government, we're not talking about the locations of American covert agents or our missile technology. We're talking about John Podesta saying, hey, I think we can screw Bernie out of South Carolina if we do this. I mean, we're not talking about national secrets. Hacking is uncool and it's illegal. But, you know, let's remember what we're discussing.
Stone's next appearance is going to be before a federal judge in Washington, D.C. to respond to the charges. Charges filed by the grand jury that's working with a special counsel, Robert Mueller. In other news, we have got some problems at the nation's airports. Air traffic control staffing issues from the partial government shutdown are leading to significant delays at airports in New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia. And NBC New York is reporting there's also some problems in Washington, D.C. and Jacksonville, Florida. And all of these are beginning to have a ripple effect. Meantime, the Air Traffic Controllers Union is calling on the White House and Congress to end the shutdown, warning of an unprecedented safety risk.
Hey, getting back to the Roger Stone stuff a little bit, because the New York Post is out with some details from the indictment I hadn't seen anyway. In one message that has been released, I guess, Stone directed person number two, who they believe to be a New York radio host.
Good morning.
To pull a Frank Penangeli?
Oh, Penangeli.
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 It's from The Godfather, too.
Right.
I don't remember how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
Pull a Frank Penangeli. That's a character who refuses to testify to Congress after mobsters bring his brother in from Italy to intimidate him, if you have ever seen The Godfather.
Right, he's sitting there in Congress ready to spill his guts. Then he looks out in the gallery, and there's his brother sitting next to a couple of goons. Then all of a sudden, he can't remember nothing. No, I don't think that happened. No, I don't remember nothing. And all the people who've been handling him are you know, their jaws drop.
Quoting Roger Stone here, Stonewallet, plead the fifth, anything to save the plan. Okay.
U.S. State Department is ordering all of its non-emergency employees to leave Venezuela. President Nicolas Maduro has ordered all the U.S. diplomats out of the country, but the U.S. has said it does not recognize any orders from Maduro. Republican Senator Marco Rubio had this to say about the situation.
But if any harm should come to these diplomats from the United States, I want everybody to know that the consequences, I believe, from this administration that they'll impose will be swift and they'll be decisive.
U.S. directive strongly encouraging American citizens who live in or are visiting Venezuela to consider leaving immediately.
Okay, I have to go back to the Stone thing again.
Oh, listen to you. You're obsessed.
As I'm reading more of the quotes, this is getting
working
pretty good.
Brian Williams.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So the radio host, this guy, he's caught up in this whole thing. He's being asked to testify to Congress. I just read you the part where
I'll be testifying to Congress right after traffic and weather together.
Where Stone had told him, you know, stonewall him, don't answer the questions. This guy pled the fifth, this radio host.
Yeah.
Plead the fifth caller.
Very funny.
Here's your top five amendments I'll be setting this morning. Number one, number five.
He pleaded the fifth to the House Intelligence Committee, and he texted Stone, you should be honest with the FBI about the WikiLeaks stuff. Stone fired back test, blasting him. You are a rat, a stoolie. You backstab your friends, run your mouth. My lawyers are dying to rip you to shreds. Then he threatened that he would take your dog away from you, referring to the guy's therapy dog, they think. The same day, Stone declared war by texting the guy, I'm so ready, let's get it on. Prepare to die, blanker.
Wow.
He texted.
Wow. What a cheery companion Roger Stone sounds like. Wow.
Whoa. Wow.
Well, that is witness tampering.
Yes.
If it's true.
Well, yeah, I think Stone, I have no doubt Stone's in big trouble.
Right.
Yeah, whether or not the president's in trouble is the question.
You know, Stone has been since the days of the Nixon administration. Yeah. Whereas, how old was he? He was like 20. Richard Nixon, the most powerful man in the world, knew his name. Think about that.
Yep.
You know, unless you're wielding a cigar and she's an intern and you're getting it on, there's no reason for a president to know the name of a 20-year-old unless it's a close relative. I have a 19-year-old interested in government. It would be astonishing if somehow that happened. Anyway, so this guy, he has a tattoo of Nixon on his back. He has been knocking teeth out and bloodying lips, politically speaking, since the early 70s.
Yep.
Okay? And that's not just a metaphor. He hurts people, and he does nasty stuff. He's a rat blanker in the parlance of politics. Do we have Ted Cruz ready?
Why not? It is a story that quoted one source on the record, Roger Stone, Donald Trump's chief political advisor. And I would note that Mr. Stone is a man who has 50 years of dirty tricks behind him. He's a man for whom a term was coined for copulating with a rodent. Well, let me be clear. Donald Trump may be a rat, but I have no desire to copulate with him.
You know, you're doing good till you get to your punchline, Dad. It was just confusing. So anyway, yeah, the fact that he, you know, there's some DJ or host of some sort, and he decided to scare him into compliance, yeah, that fits the character.
Why threatened to take his dog?
But that's cold. Yeah. That's cold. I'm going to take you're going to take my dog.
There you go. That's a wrap. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
No, the I'm ready to kill you stuff I get, but you're threatening to take my dog?
I'm so ready. Let's get it on. Prepare to die, blanker. He texted the dude.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. That's an unsavory son of a gun right there. What it means to the Trump administration? I have a feeling not a ton.
Now, Stone's lawyer is out with a statement saying that Stone didn't do any of those things, and as far as WikiLeaks, he forgot. He forgot that he talked to WikiLeaks.
He talks to lots of people.
It was a whoopsie-daisy.
Again, look, he talked to WikiHow, he talked to Wikipedia, he talked to WikiLeaks, he ordered some wicks for some candles. He forgot about WikiLeaks. He's busy.
Oh, WikiLeaks.
With the guy with the embassy.
Right.
And
I was thinking of something completely different.
Right.
Yeah, I've talked to them.
Okay.
You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
This is typical of Mueller. He has found almost no crimes that occurred before he was appointed special counsel. He was appointed special counsel to uncover crimes that had already occurred. He has virtually failed in that respect in every regard. Almost all of his crimes that he's indicted people for are crimes that resulted from his investigation. False statements, tampering with witnesses, obstruction of justice. I went through today the list of all the people who had been indicted by Mueller, and it was very hard to find any American who had been charged with any crime that occurred before Mueller was appointed special counsel.
That's really interesting stuff, and that's right. Alan Dershowitz, Harvard Law professor, who's ended up being seen by some as a Trump supporter. He was a Hillary Clinton supporter. I mean, actually on cable news shows arguing for Hillary Clinton.
Right. Yeah.
But he's defines himself, a classic liberal. He's always been worried about the power of prosecutors, and thinks they can, you know, create an investigation and then get you for things that are happening during the investigation, right. And that happens all the time, and that we can't have that in America, or it's not good for our system.
Now, this would take at least a semester-long college class to really explore this question, but the question is, to what extent are we cool with investigations that create their own crimes? Now, there were a couple, I'll point out, Paul Manafort and his financial misdealings were before the investigation began, but they were completely unrelated to the Trump campaign or colluding with Russia or anything like that.
That's why he said almost no.
Right, exactly. You know, bring me the man, I'll find you a crime is, you know, an old saying that the despots use. And you can't be lying to investigators.
No, you see, that's the flip side of it. If you told the truth, would you avoid the problem?
But if you gave me a half an hour, I think I could get anybody to lie, or especially if I had several weeks of research about their lives and what they've done and not done and who they've talked to and the emails they've sent, I could get them to screw up. And it's in the eye of the beholder. Again, it would take many, many months of philosophizing to get to an answer. At what point does researching someone's life, then grilling them about everything they've ever done and catching them lying about it, become persecution, not prosecution? Positive Sean, you have something you'd like to throw in.
Is there any reason for me to believe that these charges that they are being indicted and brought in for mm-hmm. are the most serious ones that they have?
Or there might be more.
Or would this be kind of like a charge stacking thing where, hey, we got you on this. Here's what we really got you on. We need to start talking deals here.
It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. That'd
be interesting.
So here's an interesting aspect of the indictment. And it's really good at illustrating who Roger Stone was in the Trump campaign, because he'd been booted out after 1 month in 2015 because he couldn't get along with anybody. In October 2016, this is the eve of the election, a reporter called Trump. On October 3rd of 2016, Stone received an email from a reporter who had connections to a high-ranking Trump campaign official. Now, what that means, had connections to, that's a weasel phrase, and I don't really appreciate it. But anyway, he asked, and everybody's assuming Organization One is WikiLeaks, okay? Just everybody is assuming at this point. So I'm going to fill in some blanks for you. The reporter asked Stone, Julian Assange, what's he got? Hope it's good. Stone responded in part, it is. I'd tell high-ranking Trump campaign official, which some people, David Drucker thought is Bannon, Steve Bannon. So, I'm sorry, I ought to fill in that blank too. So, reporter says, Julian Assange, what's he got? I hope it's good. Stone responded, it is. I'd tell Bannon, but he doesn't call me back. So, he can't even get a call back from Bannon. He's leaving him messages.
I'm guessing because Bannon doesn't want to be that involved with Roger Stone.
Yes. Yeah. Roger Stone, if you're not hip to, he's an unsavory character. He's a longtime, you know, advisor to Trump and confidant. He is super crazy inside. He's magnificently knowledgeable about politics and how it really works, and how Oppo research works, and how manipulating the press works. He is an encyclopedia of political knowledge. He is also utterly without morals.
Sure. He's one of those guys that I wish, you know, I don't know if they're capable, but of coming completely clean, doing a sit-down interview, writing a book, and just saying, look, you're all children. You have no idea the way this really works. Mm-hmm. Let me explain it to you.
Interestingly, when Lee Atwater, the infamous dirty tricks political strategist guy back in the 80s, I guess, when he got brain cancer, he called a lot of people he'd wronged and apologized and told them exactly what he did. He wanted to get right with God, I guess, or he found his conscience or something. That's, I think, as close as we've really gotten to a guy like that spilling his guts. But so he can't even get a call back from Bannon to tell him, WikiLeaks has dirt. You got to call me, Steve. But he won't call him back. So finally, when the WikiLeaks stuff gets dumped, allegedly, then Bannon calls him and says, So, what else do they have? And Roger Stone denied then getting in touch with WikiLeaks and the justice people say lied. But so once the initial dump happened on the day of the Access Hollywood tape with the grab them by the meow, then Bannon allegedly was interested enough to call Stone back. That's what the feds are alleging. So I'm telling you,
that might be the greatest help Trump got, because it's unclear whether any of this WikiLeaks stuff, how many votes that changed. you know, finding out various things about Podesta and cheating Bernie or whatever. Who knows how many votes that changed?
It's hard to say.
The fact that a big WikiLeaks dump came out the day of the Access Hollywood story so lessened the impact of that some. Although, God, I don't know. That was the story.
We're still talking about it.
I remember that day. I mean, yes. I don't even remember the WikiLeaks dump that day. I remember the Access Hollywood story.
Right.
The other thing would be, I've often wondered, if Trump would win re-election, and this time it would be, I hate to even use the term fair and square, because we don't know that he didn't win fair and square before. That's the narrative of half the country.
Well,
but
we're talking fair and square for politics.
Well, yeah, by yeah.
What I've just described, Barack does it, Hillary does it,
but if
George
he,
W.
But
did
he,
it.
But if he got re-elected, would a lot of this go away? Just because, everybody knew now what's going on, and there wasn't any of this going on, and he got reelected. So
it'll go away the minute it stops being a good fundraiser for Democrats. As long as you can whip people up with it, it will endure forever.
I mean, if he committed some sort of crime, you know, that got phone calls between him and Putin, that's a different thing. That would never go away and shouldn't go away.
Sure.
If something like that was happening. But in terms of the talking about it being unfair and cheating the election, if he wins again without any of those things, what would be the point?
Well, which aspect of it would be unfair? Like the releasing some of the email stuff or delighting in the release of it or having Roger Stone call Julian Assange and say, "How's Tuesday for you to release more?"
Right.
I mean, that's
if yeah.
Well, the one thing that I know for certain about political world and the internet culture is being gracious in defeat. I know that's very common in both those realms. But if he were to win again, I don't think the people who don't like him would all of a sudden stop criticizing him. No.
But the talk of the stealing the election, what would be the point if he got elected again?
Yeah, in 2022, will they still be talking about 2016?
Yeah,
talk about Bush v. Gore and report and repeat their own narrative about it. I'm not sure how useful it is to anybody, but people still talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. That would be. Don't you think that would be a different story if he had been a one-term president? You would think he was only president because of that, because he got reelected.
Well, I wouldn't think that, but people would say that. Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Hey, old man Mueller. How long does it take, dude?
I don't know.
Finish your report and unleash it.
I don't know. The closer we get to the election, which we're still a long way off, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the closer we get to an election, the less comfortable it is him releasing it. Because then that is the story of the election.
Right.
Same as Comey coming out with the Hillary stuff.
Right.
So I don't know if he feels any time pressure, but it's less meddling with an election the earlier he gets it out.
Can you imagine Mueller going after guys like us, both of whom have somewhat faulty memories, both of us? He could catch me, quote-unquote, lying half a dozen different ways just because I don't remember. Of course, I'd remember talking to Julian Assange.
I would remember talking to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
About dirt on Hillary. You are listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.